20 years after development first started on iRacing, they have delivered their biggest update ever. Is it the biggest update, perhaps, in all of sim racing history? Because rain is here, and like many of you, we have been testing it around and seeing if it has lived up to our very high expectations for what could be a massive change, not just in iRacing, but in the world of the hobby that we all enjoy so much. Welcome to the slightly earlier Apex. Means nothing to people looking at this on the podcast, but we are broadcasting about 8 hours earlier than we usually do. But hopefully you have been able to join us nonetheless and are either watching this from your homes or perhaps being distracted at work. I am Sam Fitzpatrick. David Sampson is, of course, alongside me. And David, what a fantastic week to talk about sim racing once again. We can dig our teeth into this one after, something very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we've been waiting and memeing and waiting forever. I mean, this has been talked about for... I mean, there was a tweet going back years, right, that there's something they're working on.
2019, I think, was the first time that they said it was in development, I think.
Now, obviously, we're all glad they waited because of how... We'll get into it, but how good it's been. But would you have rather an early version, like version one years ago?
I've had this consistent belief, and I have this idea as well with video game development generally.
Yep.
Wait until it's complete, because you only have one launch, and if that launch goes wrong, then people are going to dismiss it. So it's really important that you wait until you've got a finished product.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. Obviously, they have knocked it out of the park in comparison to other sim titles. So, yeah, this was a good way of doing it. But we have waited forever. It had felt like, to be honest, it felt like so long that we wasn't actually going to get it. That's almost the running feeling I got. I mean, even the final of this version was delayed. Mm. Hence why we did get GT3. We wouldn't have got any GT3s had it not been delayed.
Yeah, and like F4 as well and many others. But yeah, we'll go through that. That's the main story. And I think we'll probably talk about that for about 75% of this podcast, iRacing Rain. Let's go through it. A little bit of a disappointment, and I'm not going to have too much of a go on iRacing because after all, we're going to have rain forever now, so it doesn't matter too much, but it was frustrating on Tuesday and Wednesday not being able to get into the sim. On Tuesday, I could not drive on it because I was trying to log in, and then you just had the circle thing and it just didn't change for like half an hour and I gave up. Wednesday we had server issues as well, which wasn't particularly great, so a bit of a rarity for iRacing. Do you think that was just an overload thing, just too many people on the service, or a build thing?
Yes and no. There are still problems. The sims crash in. If you join a session late and you start from the pits, it will crash. If you start messing with your graphical settings and go to track, it can crash. There's still lots of issues out there. It probably was a bit of both. I'm not saying it was just issues, but definitely this UI change, this fundamental change that they've made to the UI, has hurt a lot of the aspects. Because you don't think of iRacing as being too buggy. But yeah, I got lucky. On the Tuesday, I did a casual 10-hour stream, you know, just casual. Yeah. And the running joke was I spent 9 hours of it talking because, yeah, I mean, iRacing was down 7 hours, I think, in total.
Yeah, was it like 9 o'clock that it came back up?
It was, I don't know. I don't even want to talk about the time I ate dinner. Sure. But I got lucky because there was loads of download issues. Everyone was having like difficult download speeds.
Yeah,
so I
really slow. Yeah.
So I unticked everything, just ticked one car, Porsche GT3, and only the requireds. And I got lucky, jumped into a local test session. And then, sorry for this, it seems like it was me, everything just, no one could download, no one could join, no one could log in. So I'm streaming a Porsche GT3 in the wet, and obviously that was worth, but printing money.
Yeah.
I went to change car, and the chat lit up. Like, if you leave, you're never getting back in, it's over.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
And also another tip chat gave me, I then started to download, like I realized you could use the downloader while you're in the sim. I didn't actually know that.
Okay, yeah.
No, yeah. No. So I started downloading some cars and tracks and I had that going. And I said, oh, it's only like 2 minutes left to go. And then someone in chat was like, you need to cancel that right now. I was like, why? When a download's being done, it will update it and close the sim. And then again, getting back in. So it was heartbreaking to press cancel.
Yeah.
So I actually did spend the first day unable to test Portimao. any of the new tracks. But yeah, you're right. I think the big problem, actually, I remember now, the reason it took 7 to 9 hours, whatever it took, was an issue they kept hitting with moving from practice to race. So if you registered for a race server, it wouldn't take you to the race, just the practice. Or something like that. The way to do it was, well, their workaround temporarily while they fixed it was you joined a practice and then registered for the race in a weird way. And then you would get pulled from practice to the race.
Sure.
But yeah, there was a multitude of issues. Absolute multitude.
Yep. And as Chris Chatterton says in chat, that is what week 13 is for. And you're absolutely right, Chris. So
true.
Yeah, hopefully everyone was able to stay patient on that. Let's talk about the rain itself. Is it better or worse than what you were expecting?
Way better. Way better. I really didn't care how it looked.
Yeah.
But I'm impressed how it looks. It's actually blown me away, especially how the puddles are implemented and where they are and how they drain and how it builds up, how the dry line forms. Blown me away, but physics wise it's just mind blowing. I could feel the puddles, I could feel the aquaplane, I could feel the tug on the car.
Yeah.
When you pull on it, the sound, I'm not meaning people to wear the sound of the water hitting the underside of your car, it's loud and a little bit different to get used to. Couldn't hear people in Discord when I was running one of the MDHs, just blown me away. I didn't realize. Obviously, people talk and they share tips on how you drive IRL. And I'm always responding to that. Yeah, but have you played any game that's racing and rain? It follows none of the IRL racing off the racing line and that nonsense. ACC is nothing like that.
No.
Turns out in iRacing, you need to read all that. Because breaking on the rubbered line is insane.
And I'd say the most demanding aspect to get used to is that braking element. If you clip a curb on when you're braking in the wet, that's gone. Like
the painted lines as well.
The lines. I was only driving GT3, so I've got traction control, obviously. But like the braking, it's still got ABS, I guess. The braking is way more demanding than the traction. So yeah, that was great. Obviously the puddles, this is something that, you know, while I was doing Le Mans Ultimate, I was driving through the puddles make no difference, they're just a graphics thing, they're not actually
changing. Look great, but yeah, they're not there.
On iRacing, absolutely, you drive through a puddle, you lose grip and you're just navigating, you're almost creating a new circuit for yourself, having to miss parts of it, and you have to make the assessment, well, on this corner should I dip a little bit of a wheel into the puddle in order to survive, and yeah, making all those decisions and having that sort of textured circuit with different grip levels in different areas is something that we've never had before, I think.
Yeah, good question from Christian L. The physics are amazing, but do you think that it would give DD drivers an advantage? Before rain, a DD gave you a small advantage, but it was immersion that you gained. Hi Chris, on that note, I thought DDs were worth it before on the immersion level, but rain is like up here. I can get the angle Chris is coming from. I pulled out of draft because I just couldn't see at Daytona. And as I pulled out, I've gone for a puddle and aquaplaned. And I don't know. The DD just gave me such quick response time that what was going on. But yeah, I nearly died on a straight.
Mm. Yeah. You need to learn where all the puddles are.
Correct. Because you can't see them.
Yeah.
It's a tough question, Chris, because I haven't drove a non-DD in such a long time, but it giving you rapid response is really, really helpful. I mean, breaking into T1 at Daytona when they're too wide in front of you, you don't see a thing. You are just using your force feedback and the bumps to sort of remember what it feels like and where you are.
I was almost following the spray. I'd be like, well, that's where they're driving, so I'm going to drive into the air where I can't see, and that's going to be the track. It is really incredible. That spray element wasn't something that I was really anticipating, and it makes you appreciate what they do in real life, eh?
I will say,
they are always driving in those conditions.
The spray at slow speed doesn't feel right to me. At 50 kph.
Oh, you think it should be a bit less?
a lot less. A 50 kph.
More dynamic.
Yeah, it feels like, 200, 150 kph. Of course, yeah. You get that. At 50, I don't know. I question it. I mean, I haven't checked. I want to see some IRO footage, but I feel at 50, it shouldn't be kicking up like that.
Sure, yeah.
I've seen crashing on the outlap because you can't see. Mm. I just don't feel like, I mean, I could be wrong. Like, I'm happy to say, oh, yep.
I mean, we've all driven on a dual carriageway, haven't we? Kind of spray, so we roughly know what it looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
Sort of on the topic of visibility, I think the worst thing about it, and fortunately this is something that they can easily fix, is whilst the spray diminishes your visibility, the rain doesn't. You can drive in full rain with no wipers.
With no wipers. The wipers don't do anything.
And the wipers do nothing.
No.
Like
if you turn on the off the wipers, that animation of the water is still there. Like,
yeah,
you're right. Rain doesn't. It's just a new texture that's playing on your windscreen.
And that is something that we can all attest to. Once again, we've all driven on a motorway when a car is in front of us, and if you have intrusive thoughts, you turn off your wipers, and you're like, okay, I'm blind now without wipers. That should be what it's like in iRacing. And generally, even with the wipers. And it's pouring down rain, forget about cars ahead of you. If it's pouring down rain and you've got the wipers on, it should still be tricky to see. That it still should be demanding. So that's something that they need to, frankly, add, because as you say, it's simply not there at the moment.
I had the lucky opportunity of interviewing Greg West literally a couple of days ago, and I asked him some point questions. But he did tell me emphatically that they're not done on this side of it.
Yep.
And especially for formula cars, obviously that isn't done at all. You do not get any visor blur. Like, nothing happens. But that's coming. The whole helmet and how that interacts with the rain, that's coming.
Okay, cool.
He didn't say what's coming on the roadside, but yeah, agreed. I mean, if you have your shader set too low, you don't even see raindrops on your windscreen, let alone that animation that plays of, like, them dripping. You don't see them at all.
Sure.
Some streamers I've seen driving in the rain with the wipers on, but obviously you question yourself, like, guy, mate, what are your wipers aren't doing anything. Like, stop them a second. Yep, okay. So he did also confirm, because he got this question 26,000 times, how do I reduce the spray? Can I turn off the spray? And his answer was no.
Good.
Obviously, no matter, even if it's a graphical problem, FPS-wise, it will never be an option.
Sure.
Obviously. It would be a huge advantage.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's sort of the same in, obviously you can't counteract it with when it comes to night and day, but like whacking up your gamma, it's almost a bit like that in terms of a cheat, so you can actually see where you're going.
I played with the idea of tuning your monitors with contrast levels and gain, and the visibility gains you get are 2%, but you wouldn't want to be driving with the settings in the day.
Sure.
And no, it wasn't even 2%. It was minor.
Okay, yeah.
The thing everyone's talking about, the thing iRacing staff are talking about, is the brightness of the rain lights.
Yeah. Yeah, that needs to be whacked up.
Hey, Leonard. Hey, Teague. AMS. Chris. Hey, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well today.
A few comments in chat. Lennart's mentioning it, and Teague as well. Apparently, I need to get some windscreen Rain-X. So I can actually see where I'm going. I've never used anything like that. I have my Peugeot 107 and I'm thundering down that motorway and can't see where I'm going. So maybe I need to invest in that and I'll be less at risk of crashing.
Yeah, so I'll be competing, as long as I'm well enough, in the Daytona 10-hour tomorrow, which is going to be the first endurance with rain. And when we're not nervous, we're just going to use this as a test bed to learn. Because at the moment, in week 13, the radar is just useless because it's more like scripted.
It's just the same weather every time.
Correct. Whereas the radar, by the way, that's on a side note. If you script with the timeline editor, like heavy rain, heavy sunshine, heavy rain, and make it up, the radar tries to emulate that. You know, like storm, but then nothing, then clear. Like it's almost like a video game inside a game. But yeah, I mean, when do I transition from the wet to dries? When do I transition the other way? How's tyre wear on wet? Like, is a full stint perfectly fine? We have so many. And how many, you know, if it only rains for four laps and comes back, like, how many laps can you run? Like, where are the, there's so many questions. Yeah. And like, usually we've got all this experience, so we've got no answers for. So we're just going to go safe and stay alive. And
there's the old phrase, be on the right tires at the right time,
yeah,
which I very much believe in. Sometimes you see it, in particularly in Formula One, the teams try to go for a miraculous call where it's like, dark cloud ahead, we're going to put on wets now.
Yeah, but before it hits, yeah.
So that when it does come, then we're going to be golden. You see it. And obviously, everyone knows in F1,
and then the wind changes.
Rains.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're on those bad tyres. So, yeah, be on the right tyres. Don't try to wait it out because you can be losing 10 seconds a lap.
Not just that, your spin.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And that dry line, I think that's... there's a few criticisms. The dry line can be very deceiving because... they've done it so it's visible. But guess what it ain't? Dry.
Sure.
Don't go stick on slicks and think, oh, there's definitely a dry line. No, that's very, it's very wet still, but it's there to help distinguish the dry line. But I've seen so many people think, okay, I've pretty much seen there's a line around the track, and then you go and drive it and you're just like, wait, something's wrong.
You got to be cautious on that. Be the last person. Well, and you got to keep an eye out. That's when it comes to a teammate. Your teammates need to be looking out. What's this person doing on slick tyres? It adds so much strategy.
And the other thing, like imagine you see the rain coming, it just starts to come in and you're coming up to pit road and think, yeah, let's do it. We'll be first team on, no loss of time. Bam. You head out and then that, five drops stop,
yeah,
and it just sunny,
yeah.
And now you're what, a whole pit stop down?
Well, two pit stops down, because you're gonna have to come back in.
Oh, yeah, don't even. No, that's it. If you've made a wrong call, you live with it,
yeah. Well, and that's the spiral that people get,
but yeah, I think so. To clear things up, a lot of because there has been a lot of confusion, week 13's been very fixed, whereas come the start of the season, even a short sprint race, it might be dry, or the last two laps might.
And iRacing have confirmed that there's going to be like a chance of rain in any of the races, but you got to, you know, get into sim and see what the weather radar is saying.
I'm not going to reveal anything, but I heard the guys talking about PESC and their prep, and I mean, it's so much to think about. Like, we're just doing it for iRating, but this is for competitions. Mm. Not now, but in the future, you know, they're preparing. Yeah. It's really exciting. Another criticism. I'm sure lots of people have tried it, but maybe not noticed it. The AIs in the rain. It's fine. Everything about it's fine until you notice one really weird thing. They don't need vision. They will sit in that.
Okay. Yeah.
They will sit in that spray just fine. They do not need eyes. 100%. If you go on board with them, no, sir. There is no way you saw a breaking point there. So they need to fix that because when you move off the line for vision, you get the most glorious sunset. You can see everything because then you jump into a real race and you realize, yeah, everyone's shuffling to get vision. You've got no a Daytona, head into the bus stop because you've got these people all doing this because no one can see. It's nothing like the AI
it
race.
It reminds me of doing IndyCar on ovals where like you got the turbulence on the corners and you're trying to pick out a clean route. And you can have someone who's maybe seventh in the row who manages to, it just opens up for them and they can gain three, four positions just because it's clear ahead of them. So yeah, that's pretty much it through every corner. I was impressed by the sliding element that they've added. Like, if it's wet, you don't slow down. You lock up the tyres and you just...
And it goes quiet as well.
Yeah, and you just slide.
You're not so much skidding on rubber. You are just...
You're floating.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't say I love it. It's accurate. I don't love it, though, mate.
Yeah, well, and it's the case as well, not just on tarmac, but on gravel as well. Like, you get into the gravel and you just continue to slide. And you don't get beached in the gravel, but if you apply too much power in the gravel, you just don't go.
It builds resistance, yeah.
Like, it's not really a beaching effect. It's more of a just a traction effect where it's like, nah, you're putting too much traction in. The tyres would just spin.
I agree, there is a huge penalty now.
It takes you so long to get out. Yeah.
Everyone's like, just couple of KPH. It's like, it's going to take me 20 seconds. Yeah. Like, the race is done. I like it. But the painted lines, oh my God. Again, it's not just, I know I need to avoid painted lines, but when the spray's everywhere and you're usually to the far left or far right for visibility, you catch a painted light with any one of your tyres and touch the brake, she just pirouettes.
And of course, the good drivers... and we should all be doing this, and it's something that everyone should try to do when they're driving. Look to the apex as early as you possibly can, but obviously you can be looking at the apex very early and then just completely nonchalantly just dip a wheel onto that outside curb on corner entry, and your race can be ruined.
Yeah, it's very difficult to work out what puddles to cut, what lines to take, how you follow. Because obviously if you're over slow to the guy in front, the guy behind has the higher chance of hitting you. There's a lot to think about. It's exciting, but there's a lot.
I haven't tried the GTPs, but you've tried the GTPs, and it seems like Le Mans Ultimate had it right all along, because I tried the wet weather on Le Mans Ultimate and the P2s are faster than the GTPs, and it seems like it's the case in iRacing as well.
Yeah, I mean, the 9K drivers, the excellent drivers, can be faster, but your average, especially someone around my skill level, is there's no way at Spa, Le Mans, you're quicker in an LMDH than an LMP2.
Le Mans, though, with the long straights.
No.
So imagine doing it at like mid-Ohio. PT's going to be seconds left.
You just can't get off corners. You can't put down traction. All of the benefits of a LMDH just aren't there. You just got nothing. You are just plowing into corners with no brakes. I was battling two LMP2s at Spa in an LMDH in a race thinking, what are these idiots doing? Two laps later, they're 4 seconds ahead of me. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, how do I not? What is happening? I felt like a 1K driver and I felt so confused. IMSA's going to be... Well, let's talk about that. VRS and Fanatec Fixed are not getting rain. To a surprise of everyone.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Did they just sign a contract with Ford and McLaren to run them for six, seven years?
Yeah, but McLaren's been there for like 10 years, hasn't it? The Ford's been there. The Ford just got added. It was a GT2 car, obviously, and then they changed it to GT3 spec.
I just don't understand the meeting that could have happened at iRacing to did this happen. Question, like, how often do the McLaren Ford get driven? Someone checks. Five people.
Yeah. Bathurst.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, it's only tracks with high altitude as well. If your average track, Interlagos, whatever, don't get it. I mean, perhaps he's trying to get diversification by hurting GT3s a little bit. I mean, you can't kill GT3s. It's the most popular series there is. But maybe it's to push people to other... I don't know.
I think that's a risky strat when all the other games are aiming for GT3. You're not just saying go to these other series. You're going saying go to ACC, go to Rennsport.
So it has to be fixed for next season. Otherwise, no rain for Spa 24.
Yes.
So it has to be addressed. Yes, we have to. If we're going to get the new cars, great. If we're going to ditch the old cars. Look, here's my thing then. If they next season all of a sudden just ditch the Ford and Macca and give us rain, won't all of this been pointless? Like, if we're getting new cars, next season, great. Or if we're getting an adjustment to the format, that's great. But I feel like if next season all they do is remove the Ford and Macca and we're like, rain's coming to VRS, won't our first question be like, couldn't you've just done this?
Yeah, why wasn't this done 3 months ago?
Yeah, I
didn't get it. I really don't get it. It seems to make no sense.
So many people are surprised when I tell them. Oh, how about this then? Week 13, the most popular car is GT3s in the wet. And guess what? They're the IMSA ones in a sprint format. So I just doubly assumed. I know I saw it in the PDF, but I still hold out hope that they're going to adjust the PDF and be like, oh yeah, it's preliminary, because it is still called preliminary. But yeah, week 13 GT3s are being driven. Oh, I watched loads of people racing at Brands Hatch in the wet. And people in chat are getting super excited. But once you tell them, no, sprint GT3s are not getting rain, like no matter what the format, you're going to have to go do IMSA with the LMDHs that can't slow down.
Yeah, and are slower than you.
By the way, we haven't talked about that, the multi-class element of all this. It's all well and good. Like you said, you headed into Daytona T1 following the spray of an LMDH. What on earth's going to happen when it was an LMDH? LMDH gets past GT3. Now that spray, how are you meant to know that that's now an GT3?
I think almost practice is going to be even more valuable, because you are going to have to be, you're going to have to know the circuit with your eyes closed. You're going to need to know where all the puddles are, where the danger points are. You're going to need to find new sort of markers and timing to know when to turn in and such. So yeah, it's just going to take more of a grind, I think.
The bus stop at Daytona, me and my teammate for tomorrow, we done like, I don't know, 15 laps. The the first lot of attempts, you don't even know what to do. It's puddle, slippery curb, puddle, slippery curb, puddle, slippery curb, slippery curb. You just end up like, wow, like in an LMDH, obviously in a GT3, I'm sure it'd be much different. But in an LMDH, because you have to take your speed off and your downforce starts coming off, all you're doing is correction lines and hope that you come off the corner facing forwards. Mm. 10 hours.
Oh, man. Arthur Hupkamal asking how you're going to handle rain in the GT3 trophy. I think it'll probably match the officials. That's sort of been my line throughout it. So the GT3 trophy is Apex Racing League series. And with all the Apex Racing League series, I think we'll just try to match the officials. And so people will be used to it. We don't necessarily want to have one wet race during the entire week. So try to make it similar to everything else. Other iRacing updates. The new content, unfortunately, I've only had a chance to have a go at Misano, which I knew already from ACC. And I think it's generally quite a good track. Tricky in the wet. I mean, all tracks are, but I think particularly, have you tried Misano yet?
I haven't. I've tried Portimao, though, so we've got this covered.
Sure, there's a couple of corners. At Misano, you've got a quadruple right-hander near the end of the lap, and it's like classic, if you just push it that little bit too hard, you go onto like this painted area,
right,
and you get on that, and like lap one of doing a race there, and you took out everyone doing, not even crashing, but just doing like 360s on that, and they just get on it, and then they're spinning on the top, and that's a real tricky circuit in the wet, I would say. More tricky than, for example, Nords. I tried Nords in the wet, not that
easy.
Demanding. And of course, at Nords, everyone's going to get spread out. But Nords, you just storage. And like, even in the wet, the Nords circuit is more grippy than the GP circuit in the dry.
I didn't get it either. I've spoken to two other people that said this as well. Because I jumped in a GT3 at the Nords and, you know, I expected to just crash and burn. Because once I got off the GP, no, I was doing the Nordschleife, Nordschleife, you're right. I was just sending it. I was correcting lines, sure.
You take a slightly wider line at some corners.
Because obviously all Apexes have the puddle hug. But I do think the GT3s are... I don't know what they're like IRL. I know LMDHs are, what they say, I've seen in the videos, very tricky. But GT3s do feel quite easy in the rain, just like the LMP2s. Whereas the LMDHs is really difficult. Really difficult.
I need to get into one of these single-seaters in the rain. Like,
oh my God.
I haven't even tried yet.
I tried the Formula Light. Okay, yeah. Brands in the rain. It's like 15-16% peak brake.
Sure, yeah.
It's really tricky. Any lock and the car just floats. Really tricky. The Super Formula in the Light, I did give it like 3 laps at Brands. I loved it. What a machine. What a machine. I'm excited to drive that.
Okay, that's good.
I gave Portimao a test and I actually did it in the LMP2. Because that's where I learnt it in LMU.
Sure.
Portimao is where I learnt it. And obviously, I don't want to get into the iRacing LMU debate. The grip levels aren't the same. Like, you know, I have this expectation in LMU on the slip angle, having slip angle. The LMDH, obviously, it was different. In the rain, it's tricky. The elevation changes are just as fun as I expected. I think it's going to be a great track. It's going to IMSA and everything. I just don't know. IMSA, multi-class, and all these tight, twisty tracks. With rain, it's going to be a whole another level of challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine that one's easy in rain either. Again, lots of painted areas.
Yeah.
Also, Nords, I feel like, sorry to go back to it, but like Nords, you know to avoid the curbs. So you don't
you already
go
do,
yeah,
near
the
true.
Curbs. Whereas places like Portsmouth, like Misano, you've got a lot of flat, serrated curbs and then painted areas just beyond that. And in the dry, you know, you're going all four wheels beyond the white line, just keeping a wheel on the curb. In the wet, you can't do that.
Even Road Atlanta, the S is down the hill and then you track out onto that curb in and go.
Yeah.
All of that, can't completely that. Different in the wet.
Yeah.
Especially because it's downhill and you're loading over the fronts. The new UI. Now...
I made a note of that because it was in the notes. I've already forgotten it's different.
There are a few fundamental... Like, it feels like they've put it inside of another window now, which I didn't quite... I don't know. It's not good or bad. I just don't care. It's there. It feels like I've got less screen real estate for the things I actually care about because I have this permanent 1 centimeter border now. But if it's caused these bugs, I don't care. It hasn't fundamentally changed anything. All the pictures, the text, and where you click, and the a lot of the hitboxes now are worse because they're just so hard to see. If you look at when you go into a test drive and you want to change the weather, I've received a million questions, and one time I went to answer it, I couldn't work it out because the hitbox was like, the way they fade it to black almost makes it disappear.
Sure.
And then you hover on your mouse, like, oh my God, there, like, I expand it there. They've added all these expand closes, but they've added the expands to things that are required, like selecting a track. Why would I want to hide? Like, I have to race at a track.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
Don't let me hide that. So I don't know. It felt like change for change's sake, and I didn't really get any benefit from it. It's not faster. It's worse. What's the word? UX, user experience. The UX is slightly worse. It's not quicker. The only like I do like is the licenses down the side.
Yep.
They're quite clear. It feels like they've stolen the Apple rings
still
off the Apple Watch.
It takes more room, though.
It does. It's a permanent real estate stealer. Yes, yeah. I agree.
What did you think of the SRX? Have you had a go in it? Is it easier to get in the sim than it is in real life?
No, getting in was fine in real life. Getting out was a big problem. Sure. I haven't tried it. I want to, but with all the iRacing issues, the server loading, and even the download problems. Hey, Mark. I haven't had time.
Sure.
But I do want to.
Anything else that we want to talk about when it comes to iRacing? We'll probably loop around to it, and feel free to ask us questions in chat. And thank you very much for tuning in, even though it's a slightly different time of day.
I worry about IMSA participation. I really do, because of the LMDHs.
Do you think LMP2 is coming back?
100%.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. 100%. But even LMP2s, they're going to get a bit frustrated, because even, let's say, top split IMSA, let's say the front LMP2 drivers are, say, 4 or 5K, and the back LMDH drivers are 3K, 2, 3K, which is correct. That's accurate. It's a big problem in the wet, especially at the start of the race. You know, the LMDHs, they're slower over a lap in the wet. At the start, they're ridiculously slow. They can't get stopped for T1. They've got no traction off the corner, and you've got the lead LMP2 drivers all over them. I worry about IMSA's participation and general feel. And the same with GT3s. All of the big names who want to do rain are going to be in those GT3 softs. And again, I honestly feel like a 9K GT3 driver is going to be quicker than some of the 2K LMDH drivers.
Sure, yeah.
No, I mean, I just worry about IMSA participation, because we've got a lot of pressure riding on it. Because LMDHs don't have anywhere else to race. You know, that's ESS is dead. So we have just IMSA. If you're an LMDH driver, you just have IMSA. LMP2s have LMP2 fix. GT3 drivers have VRS and Fanatec, but that's not going to rain ever. Greg did say LMP2 fix, by the way, is going to be a test bed for more frequent rain.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't know if that's just to address the dead participation, or if it is literally just as a...
I think it's... Is it especially dead?
Well, last season it was, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, the rise of LMDHs.
The whole car say is, yeah, struggling. Another thing I had, and this was another question. I think it's quite a good question. How do you think this will change other game developers' attitudes to rain in sim racing? Do you think it will change their mindset when it comes to developing rain?
I mean, who's going to compete? AC2 is really the only one on Horizon who's looking at it from a fundamental level of full development of something. Because like Le Mans Ultimate, they just use the R-Factor rain. They've put no offense to them. They've done a great job, but it's not like they sat down and have a revolutionary meeting on the physics of rain. They just implemented it. So yes and no. Yes, I'm sure they want it. No, I don't think they can implement it.
Okay, so they're jealous, but they're not going to do anything about it.
Correct.
Sure. I mean, I agree.
I could try patching things with puddles and stuff. But LMU's puddles are just textures.
Yeah. I very much agree. Like, this has taken iRacing so many years. You know, you're talking at least 5. And it's not something that you can really do easily. And Yeah, it will make the other Sims look a bit worse. It'll leave them a bit, you know, red-faced because everyone will realise that it's not realistic anymore. But I don't think they're going to make a big effort to replicate the iRacing game because it's too much effort.
Yeah, I mean, the ACC rain, everything about it is great apart from the actual driving on it where it's just dry with less grip. Mm. That's it.
And even then, it's not that much less grip. Like, it's too grippy.
I heard an analogy. I like this. I want to get it right. Driving in iRacing driving on ACC with max rain and dry tyres is easier than light rain and wet tyres in iRacing.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, heavy rain ACC on dries versus light rain and the correct tyre in iRacing. iRacing's harder.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Do you think, a good question as well from Alexander Brown, how do you think iRacing rain will shift the reputation of the sim? And I think that's a good point, Alexander, because I think it almost makes it into more of a premium product where it's like this is the most accurate sim. And I think maybe iRacing have lacked that in the past because maybe sort of the most sort of realistic and almost, I don't know, professional sim maybe is sort of like R Factor. I think historically maybe people have thought about it, and then iRacing is just some fun because of the online side. Whereas I think this makes it into a bit more of a premium product, you know?
For me, on the pro side, we get to find out who the best driver is now. Because iRacing's love it or hate iRacing, it's a repetition sim. That's all it is. All the pros do is practice one thing.
I mean, that's
thing.
All of gaming, isn't it?
Yeah, true. One thing. The pros are just practicing one thing, and then they're pros because they can do that all day long. Yep. That line, that time, they know what they're going to hit in qualifying, they know what they're going to hit in the race, and they know their average stint time before they get in. We're not like that. Hello, Race Spot TV.
That might be Dane. I assume that's Dane.
Hello, Dane. Dane.
If it's not Dane, let us know.
I just now feel like it's not a repetition sim. It's feeling on your feet, adapting to the changing conditions, adapting to the changing line. I love this, that the pros are going to have to go into a corner sometimes, not knowing, for the first time in their years of racing iRacing.
Since their first ever lap.
They're not going to know if cranked low bias is the key at this corner or if going deep slightly to focus on the... They're not going to know. They're going to have to turn the wheel, feel it for a few moments, and then work backwards on how the car's hooking up.
I agree with you 90%. To be devil's advocate, I will just say that I think when we see it in real life, it's not going to be like that in real life because these guys can still replicate those scenarios. They can still replicate without any effort. Or I want to test what it's like driving at Sebring when it goes from dry to wet, and they can turn that on and they can do a day of racing, 10 hours of practice, just practicing that period. I agree with
Good
you
point.
Though, that
Good
like point. Still like it's a dynamic track, and so you're still going to need to be
but no, you're
in that
right.
moment. But yeah, like compared to real life, it's not going to be like what we see in real life where, you know, you got drivers who are just instantly falling apart. They will have done enough practice beforehand to be somewhat prepared.
Yeah, no, if they know the transitions both ways and the drying line, they've absolutely learned how it evolves, then yeah, sure, I get it. I get what you're saying completely. Still, it's going to be great to watch.
Yeah.
It's going to make
it'll be good.
Brilliant broadcasts.
And should have different strengths and weaknesses as well, which is, I think, an important part of any sport.
Question from Track from Ivo. Do you think there'll be rain in 12-hour Sebring? 100% yes.
So, yeah.
100% yes. I spoke to one of the questions I asked Greg West. And he was like, yes, yeah, bring an umbrella. even if rain's not forecasted from the historic data, it's coming. But if the track rains half... question from chat from Chris. But if it rains halfway through and then drying, that work will be undone.
So I think Chris is addressing my point of practicing it going from wet to dry. And then if it goes back to wet, then your practice of going wet to dry has sort of been undone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just doing all the combinations, right? Like, it's just being prepared and making sure that you get that. But you're right, Chris, and that's you know, with the point with the dynamic track, it is constantly changing. And that is something that you can't 100% prepare for compared to just a track, which is always dry.
Yeah, I'm mega excited for endurance racing on this.
That's the big gain of it, isn't it?
Because if it only rains for two laps, some people pit, and they're going to be quick. Yeah, 10 seconds lap quicker than you. But it's a 40-second pit stop. Three laps is only 30 seconds. Like, and they got to put their tyres back on. Like, you can go around 10 seconds a lap slower as long as it dries.
Do we definitely know that it can rain for one lap, like 1 minute on iRacing? No. Or is it going to be more of a... It will rain for 20 minutes at the minimum. I don't know how that works.
Apparently, it's the cloud's shape and design, but we just need more testing. Because at the moment, week 13 is very static.
Yeah. And how will it be in terms of, you know, it will half the Nords be wet?
I heard yes. Again, I want to... Oh, that would be so good. Yeah. Your spotter coming on, telling you, you know, if you're in a teammate, yeah, oh, just so you know, 1 through 9 are wet. You're like, excuse me?
Yep.
It's bone dry here, no one dries. I'm excited, let's see. But we've got so much unknown. Yeah, I asked Greg West loads of questions and he gave me loads of answers. He told me the bot was good. But just because they say something doesn't mean it's how it is for us in reality.
Shall we move on to other news?
Let's have a look. Yes.
There's not much other news.
Oh, one last thing. The FPS hit. I did lots of testing, and on triples, rain itself is about a 20% FPS drop.
Okay.
From dry in the same conditions as the same amount of cars, etc., etc. A further 16% if you use SSR, which is the screen space reflections, which does actually help you spot the puddles. And then a further 12% on top of that, which is a chunk of change. You know, you're almost getting half the FPS if you put SSR on high. So they promised 10%.
Yeah.
Maybe on a single screen, maybe with less graphics, maybe if you're only testing at Lime Rock. But on your average track, with your average amount, it's 20% minimum.
Sure.
And that's the average. The lows in rain, you know, the FPS lows, which is more important because that's the bits that ruin your lap or make you feel nauseous because the sim's moving weird, is up to 40% in the rain.
Sure.
Which, if you're only getting 120 FPS, that's a lot of FPS to lose. So it's time to turn down some settings and make sure you're getting... I wouldn't recommend running SSR on high, though. For photos, yes. But low is perfectly good for driving.
Sure.
You can run it off completely, but puddles are just a little bit harder to spot because they don't have the shimmery reflections to them. But yeah, I think that's all. Everything rain.
When it comes to that's the iRacing rain news done for now. Le Mans Ultimates, there has been a patch scheduled. It was meant to be deployed yesterday, but it's been delayed a bit.
Yeah,
but that's a positive thing that could have a lot of the bugs fixed.
Yeah, I think they've done 5 hot fixes.
Well, I think one of them was the they have officially fixed that bug where you get kicked on the last
lap.
They've fixed that now.
Do you know, I know so many people that are annoyed. Because if you knew how to avoid it...
Oh, yeah.
You would finish a race, you're in 10th. 4 people are gone.
Yeah.
You're sick. And people are loving this bug. So it's almost like, oh, why? Like, because no one was sharing how to fix it. Because, of course, it was brilliant. Last lap of them.
You were the ones who had to eventually say, yeah, this is how these guys are getting away with it.
Oh, actually, in other news, it's same news. Since this podcast and now, I've spoke to the Motorsport Games CEO.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I can't reveal a lot, but yeah.
Is it the same CEO who's always been there, or have they got a new CEO now?
I don't know. It's the guy on Twitter that does all the front messages and everything, but yeah.
Okay,
nice. I'm hoping he didn't know who I am or what this podcast is.
Sure.
But yeah, they've deployed lots of patches, which was great to see. I think 5 in total. Not the biggest problems they solved, but that one was a big one, the warp into the pits. But yeah, the patch was scheduled either yesterday or the day before. It was recent, very recent. And then they delayed it at the last moment because in the 9th hour they spotted another bug that they wanted to just wrap into this.
Sure.
Because I think they want to push out this patch and give people a massive boost of confidence. Be like, look, we know how to fix the problems we're having, and this is our statement. I think when they found this other bug, they were like, oh, come on, we can't do this and leave that out.
Sure.
We know, and we can fix it. So they're saying they can get it done, and Yeah. It's going to be interesting because the buzz around LMU's died down a little bit.
For sure, yeah.
But
the good thing with LMU is that they got two releases. They've had one release and then they'll have another release when they actually reveal the whole game. So,
yeah, and, you know, LMU's reigns are a hell of a lot easier.
Yeah.
A lot easier.
There has been a new product from Fanatec. We're actually going to share our screens for the first time today. Probably the longest time we've gone without showing our screens. Here is, they've got their Club Sport Racing Wheel F1 bundle. They've previously done a GT7 wheel bundle, but this is a new one, and you get the F1 branded Club Sport wheel.
I like the F1 logo.
Exactly, and that's really why I brought this up, because it's not that interesting in reality. It's €1,300/dollars in order to buy. But interestingly, they say that, interestingly, Fanatec claims that this setup is designed for F1 sim racing, the absent official F1 esports competition. We presume then that this is the combination in use when the in-person races return. So I thought that was just a little extra bit, that's probably the setup that they'll be using.
So they're sticking with that name, F1 sim racing.
Yeah.
For the esports.
Yeah, but...
I love the fact they had to clarify that they meant by F1 sim... F1 sim racing. Esports.
Yeah. When they say, oh, it's for F1 sim racing. Well, what does that mean? What are you talking about? Well, sim racing for F1? Yeah, sure, mate. But yeah. Do you not think, though, that maybe with time, people will be like, what's F1 esports? That's a dumb name. F1 sim racing is where it's at.
No, because F1 sim racing is what we all do. No way. It's too generic. It's just too a generic term.
Sure. Yeah. Also, it's two words. Why two words? One word, please. That is, I think, all the sim racing news. There wasn't a lot of it, was there? I think everyone, to be honest, probably realised, let's not do anything, any big releases this week, eh? Because iRacing Reign is a big thing.
It's been the quietest news cycle since we started this podcast because, yeah, I think everyone knew, you know.
People had other stuff to do.
Yes.
Now, Apex Racing Team, really good week end for Apex Racing Team last weekend. First up, well, let's go PESC. Really good win. And you know what, actually, I wasn't going to do this before, but I'll get the last lap because it was some intense racing on the last lap of the race.
Yeah, I watched this after All Stars. It was a really good race.
Of course, it was the alternative format for PESC. It was their mid-season tournament thing, and there was an extra big prize pool.
By the way, how do you think it went? Because I thought it was really... I hated it, slated it, hated it, hated it, watched it, and I was glued to my screen.
I'll admit, I missed the first 80% of it. I need caught like the last 10 laps at the A final.
It was just swords out, mate.
And he's out.
That's a good point to tune in. I don't even know what this is.
He's better looking, I will say.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that one bit.
he's signing his in. And he's out.
Kev and Jamie absolutely loved doing it.
Salva's second.
This was some insane racing.
Come on.
So people don't know, it was six drivers and only three laps, and then there was six heats. Very different format, but the battling was insane.
Did we get any good last lap battles on... I mean, this is teamwork for you.
Yeah, check this out.
Sanchez Hearth and 3.14 going head to head.
Seeing how shocked Kev was of some of the moves Sanchez pulled off is just sums up how impressive job he did.
He did a fantastic job.
So for All Stars, we were actually driving the same car for once, in the same set, right? We were actually on the fixed set.
Okay, yeah.
Not in the LMDH.
Don't let his on-track performances...
Four corners. This track.
This guy is broke.
They're doing a three-lap race for four corners and there's six of them. So it was really good content.
Could potentially make a mistake.
Yeah.
This was a fantastic drive in the final between Sanchez and McCohen.
Yeah.
They had Campbell and Pinto and Matthias Jensen did a very good job actually in fifth place.
Former Apex driver, right?
Of course, yeah. Yeah, they were absolutely hounding them down. But these guys were just in coordination. This is pretty much the story of every lap. They were bump drafting one another and keeping themselves safe from the attacks from behind. And in the end, came down to the last lap.
Play it smart and then just fight last two corners. That's my thinking.
I think they went side by side.
Did you ever think there was a risk of them colliding?
We'll see what they do.
Well, you'll see in a minute.
Penta will get along so
I didn't know how hard they were going to battle, but they do go side by side. But no, I figured not. So here we go. Oh, is it not this one? Maybe it's a different race.
No, it's the final two corners.
Okay. No, I didn't think they would.
Big jump behind as well.
These are two of the best drivers I know.
Jansen's out.
Here we go.
Yep.
Yeah, here we go. Race
the last two teammates.
You just got to go side by side, and whoever wins it, wins it.
Don't shunt, please.
Don't shunt, please.
Don't hand it to
Pento. Yeah, whatever you do, don't hand it to him.
Sanchez got it on the outside.
He's got it.
And look, Scott.
What a drive!
Great.
I really enjoyed watching the races. Look at Sanchez celebrating.
Alejandro's pumped, as always.
Rightly so.
What a drive!
Luke will be a little disappointed.
That close.
So I think Luke won the overall event because he won his heat or something.
Yeah.
So I think he won like $4,000 for that. Well done to
him. Damn, well deserved. He drove really well.
Yeah. And it means now in the championship, Luke is third. It's like Job, Pinto, Luke, and then Johan and Alex. So a third, fourth and fifth in the standings, which is really, really good. So congratulations to all of those guys. Moving on to PEC GB. Another really good day for Luke. He managed to get 2 second places. And Pete also managed to get a race win as well in race two of the evening. So he got a P4 in race one, P1 in race two. So really good day for Luke and Pete. But also, Leo Garboli, his best result of the season, a fourth and a sixth as well for him.
He's flying.
So he got some really nice points. Means that Luke is second in the championship still, but 12 points off Job. I think it's like 96 points versus 84 points. So he's keeping Job honest.
How does Job do this and ESL?
Well, he's not doing it at the moment, is he?
No, but you know what I mean? Like, we've got our Apex guys that are grinding PESC. We've got our Apex guys that are grinding ESL.
But
Job's
just
casually...
Did it work for him last year? He didn't win
anything
last year.
True.
Apart from PEC GB.
PEC GB.
I think he won PEC
Apart
GB.
From all that money, yeah. Apart from all the PEC GB money. That's all he won, yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
Yeah, but come on. Like, I mean, ESL R1 wasn't really his fault because it's a LAN event. It's a lottery at that point. In terms of, you know, the race format and that. But it didn't work for him for PESC. He was distracted in PESC. So
very true.
It is. No, pretty much no one can do it, really. We need to see Verstappen try ESL R1.
Yes.
As long as it's not on a weekend, he can do it.
Yeah, I'd like to see him try that.
I don't want to, you know, say absolutely it's not up to me, but if Max wants to drive for Apex, then he can. If Redline aren't giving him a slot.
Right.
We will let him drive if
he
wants.
Of course.
That is PEC GB and PESC.
DNLS.
Bit of a... I didn't watch DNLS, but like I don't think it was the most exciting race in the world. The AMG team MSI, that was Elias Seppänen and Kevin Ellis Jr., they managed to finish third in the race, and I think that confirmed third in the championship for them. So congratulations to them.
Yep.
I think there was a disqualification earlier on in the season that they couldn't get dropped. If it weren't for that, they would have been right in the money for the championship. But there it is. So congratulations to them. I think the Porsche Cup team as well managed to finish in fourth place in the Porsche Cup standings. So that was Michael Yanni and... he may have had Luca Kita helping him out at points in the season and a couple of others. So congratulations to those guys as well. But,
yeah, the boys got unlucky in DNLS because there was a race they finished third. But basically, both of the teams in front of them didn't, one of them took someone. Williams had an incident and the other team didn't have enough fuel to drive back to the pits, both of which are penalties. The irony is we didn't get the points for first.
Yeah.
But we get the... performance, what's the word? There's a performance penalty. So you get a 40-second penalty rather than a 20-second or a 10-second. They got given the 40-second performance penalty for finishing third first, but got the points for third.
Yeah.
And you're right, they got a DQ There was a mistake at the pit stop and they drove back. Actually didn't need to, it turned out. They thought the fast repair hadn't been applied. They reversed back.
Harsh rule as well. Like, it's not an in-sim rule. It's like a... Stuart's like...
Not even that. The DQ wouldn't have mattered because a drop week would have... Yeah. Everyone gets a drop week, but the rules state you cannot drop a DQ. So they had the DQ against their name and had to drop a performance that scored them lots of points.
And if it weren't like... So I think Kev finished 20 seconds off the lead in Saturday's race and he had a 20-second extra penalty compared to everyone else. So they were the fastest team. It was just that
just so much bad luck.
So, yeah, that was a bit frustrating. Also frustrating as well that we didn't get DNLS in the rain. Would have been fun to have one round in that. But next season, perhaps, should it return. Apex Racing League, of course, we've still got the Apex Racing Academy Porsche Cup.
Yep, starting next week. We'll be broadcasting it here.
Oh, no. I haven't got the right things. Oops. That will be next week on Friday from the studio broadcast. So do sign up at apexracingleague.com in order to get some Porsche Cup action. Apex Racing Simulators, not much new for Apex Racing Simulators, but we did get a shipment of... VRS pedals the other day. So we got lots of VRS pedals. So you can buy them from apexracingsim.com. The VRS pedals are our most requested item because they're very good. But you can also get Husenveld equipment and you can get Cube Controls equipment as well. So go to apexracingsim.com in order to purchase those products. Apex Racing TV has been a little bit dry this week. There was a good drive from Aaron Barber in... the Radicals series, the official series that we broadcast. Also, actually, on that topic, we've got the Radical Esports sanctioned Sunday night leagues.
That timing down. Is that Netto? Netto?
So short.
I'm first.
We're going to get in 24 I'm not sure. laps today in this little sprint race. So, nonstop.
A nice slide. And genuinely, it was a good drive as well, man. He pulled off a couple of good overtakes.
Is that Donington?
It's Snetterton.
It's Donington, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
I always get confused, Donington, Snetterton. It's been too long since I drove them.
So that is Apex Racing TV. Again, not much else. I haven't done any... Because week 13, and that's why there's not much else, because there's people don't like doing streams when the sim might break. And generally, stuff happens during the official series weeks.
Yeah.
But there it is. We might get this done in under an hour. Look at that. We can go home, we can go sleep, have a nice dinner,
that's
go
the
watch
plan.
F1 in half an hour.
Yep.
We
can't compete with F1.
No. Well, some people would argue that we can.
True. Once Max has got that 6-second lead, you know, on lap two.
What, in qualifying? I don't think it's quite that much, is it?
True.
Anything else that you want to mention?
No. Excited to see the season turns out. Excited to see... If we have to wait for season end, like it feels like it's the iRacing way that we have to wait till season end to get big changes. I'd love to see that change in time. They worry so much about champ points and all that, but I don't know how many people really care.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm excited to see how it divides everybody up. Are we going to see the high iRatings avoid it because it's too dangerous to do multi-class, or are we going to see the low people avoid it because it's too technical? How does it all play out? But no, I'm excited to get racing. Week 13's no gauge. Never been a gauge.
Sure.
Someone was in my mentioning to me, I keep getting taken out into T1 because of the wet. I'm like, nah, it's because of the week number. Had nothing to do with the rain.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the rain. People always seem surprised about the softs. Oh my God, it's a 9.1k soft. Yeah, because no one's smurfing, because... Of the week number.
Sure. Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to the season starting up and, seeing how it plays out. Week one VRS is Portimao, and week one IMSA is Suzuka.
Oh.
Suzuka. Can you imagine Suzuka in the rain, triple multi-class?
Yeah, GTPs.
Yeah, lovely.
Man, turn one at Suzuka.
In the wet.
Be tricky.
Counter steering.
It'll be fun. What a change, eh?
Yes.
That will be it for us then on the late Apex. Get on iRacing and try out the rain if you haven't already. And have some fun with it. Don't take it too seriously whilst it's week 13. and yeah, get used to it because it's going to be a feature for many years to come. For now, from myself, Sam Fitzpatrick, and from David Sampson, we will say goodbye, and we'll see you on the late Apex next week.
Cheers.